Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you feel like the world is suffering from a bit of a trust deficit, that sense that major organizations are making decisions purely on efficiency and profit, often at the expense of people or the planet, well, you are not alone.
No, not at all. Our sources are calling this the accelerating global management crisis. It's this perfect storm where, you know, declining public faith meets the rapid and sometimes pretty reckless misuse of AI and automation.
It's a fundamental crisis of integrity, isn't it? At
right.
the highest levels of governance.
It is. And the key takeaway from the material we've gathered is that waiting around for good intentions to save us is just. It's not a viable business strategy anymore. We need a systemic answer.
And that systemic answer is what we're deep diving into today. The Global Ethical Management Standards, GEMS. For short.
Right.
And this isn't just another compliance manual. It's a foundational document really designed to provide a coherent, measurable framework to make sure management systems are transparent, human-centered, and just.
Precisely. GEMS defines ethical management as a core strategic function, just as important as finance or quality control. In fact, the foreword makes a really compelling case. It says organizations must earn public trust as deliberately and intelligently as manage finance, quality, or risk.
That really reframes it. It forces ethics out of that abstract philosophical space and puts it right in the boardroom as an auditable business discipline.
Yes, and it does that by integrating three core pillars. You have ethical integrity, managerial intelligence, and technological responsibility.
All in one standardized system.
Think of it like installing a necessary operating system upgrade for moral accountability in a 21st century organization.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the entire GMS framework is built on this massive strategic assertion for the modern economy, which is trust is capital. Integrity is infrastructure.
That's the mantra.
So we're going to spend our time today diving into the specific architecture GMS proposes, showing you exactly what tools and what capabilities it demands organizations adopt to make integrity a measurable strategic asset. So to start, let's look at the foundational shift GMS requires. It repositions ethics not as a constraint you just comply with, but as a critical competitive differentiator.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that organizations must be able to demonstrate not just what they achieve, you know, the results, but critically how they achieve it.
With fairness, transparency, and accountability baked right in. And that distinction is vital when you start comparing GMS to other established frameworks.
Right, because people already know about ISO standards for quality or risk management.
Or ESG and the SDGs, which govern sustainability and reporting. GMS aligns with all of those, but it's important to say it doesn't replace them.
So what's its specific niche then? Where does it fit in?
Its niche is the ethical intelligence of managerial conduct. So where ISO focuses on operational excellence and ESG focuses on environmental and social outputs, GMS targets the moral, the human, and the cognitive dimensions of decision-making itself.
I see.
It's really about ensuring that efficiency never replaces ethics as the main driver in managerial action.
So if ISO is about the quality of the car's engine, and ESG is about its environmental impact, GMS is about the moral and cognitive capability of the driver.
That's a perfect way to put it, yes. And that moral blueprint, it starts with the 7 ethical principles. Now, these are the non-auditable foundation. They provide the intent for the system, and they really set the tone for the 9 auditable standards that come after.
Looking at those principles, you can immediately see the influence of our current tech landscape. 2 of them in particular really jump out. First, AI and technology responsibility.
A huge one.
It explicitly requires managers to ensure that tech tools, especially ones that automate decisions, operate within strict, ethical, human-centered boundaries.
That's the most current element, for sure. But the second one you're probably looking at, integrity of decision-making, is maybe the most revolutionary for how companies work internally.
How so?
It demands that actions are grounded in truth, fairness, and transparency. But here's the kicker. It mandates the documentation of the decision rationale, including an ethical risk analysis.
So you can't just say, I made a tough call.
Yeah.
You have to show your work. You have to trace the moral justification for it.
Exactly.
That sounds like a lot of bureaucracy, though. If you're a manager who's already drowning in paperwork, how does GMS stop this from just becoming a massive check-the-box liability exercise?
That's where the third key principle comes in, continuous ethical literacy. GMS understands that integrity isn't static. It's not a one-and-done thing. It makes ongoing education and reflection mandatory. The standards require organizations to budget for and test for ethical literacy.
So the intent isn't just to document, but to actually learn from it.
To learn and to mature ethically, you have to keep evolving your moral toolkit to keep pace with complexity and automation and new risks.
Okay, so those seven principles give you the moral compass, the intent. How does that translate into the actual auditable management system?
That intent flows directly into the 9 ethical management standards. Those are the requirements an organization has to meet to get certified. And tying it all together is their continual improvement cycle. PIRA plan, implement, review, and advance. It's an ethical evolution of that old PDCA model.
And this brings us to what is, frankly, the most exciting part of this framework, the intelligence structure that gives the GMS system its brain.
The AMI-AML integration model.
Which the document calls the organization's ethical cognition.
This is the operational core. You can't just tell people to be ethical. You have to actually engineer the systems and the capabilities to support it.
Right.
So let's tackle the acronyms carefully because they are crucial. AMI stands for Applied Management Intelligence. This is the systemic side, the data architecture, the sensors, the processing needed to weave ethical reasoning into every management system.
So AMI is like the organization's ethical GPS system, collecting and processing real-time moral traffic data. What are the key elements of that?
Well, AMI has 5 core components, and they're all about turning moral behavior into measurable data points. You need ethical data intelligence, so actively collecting performance metrics on fairness or accountability. You need decision traceability, a clear log of who decided what and when.
And crucially, I see analytical transparency here.
Yes, ensuring that the algorithms and data used in decision-making are explainable and free from systemic bias.
Okay, so AMI collects the insights, it flags the data points, but data alone doesn't act. People do. Which brings us to the human side, applied managerial literacy, or AML.
And this is the required knowledge and skill set managers must have to interpret those AMI insights and then act correctly. If AMI is the ethical GPS, AML is the trained, capable driver.
So what does that training involve?
It means managers have to master 5 specific literacies, and these have to be developed, assessed, and maintained.
Let's break those down because this really changes what we expect from a successful manager. It's not just about finance or ops anymore. First, you need ethical literacy.
That's the baseline. Understanding moral frameworks and principles.
But that's just the start.
Just the start. They must also have analytical literacy.
This is fair.
This is so vital. It means not just being able to read a complex data set, but being able to interpret that data ethically.
You mean like seeing the bias hidden in a hiring algorithm?
Exactly that. Or recognizing the unfairness embedded in a supply chain optimization model. Then you have operational literacy embedding ethics into daily processes and stakeholder literacy, which is recognizing the rights of everyone affected by the organization, not just the shareholders.
And the final one.
Technological literacy. Managers have to know how to govern AI and digital systems responsibly. They need to understand the potential for machine learning to drift ethically and know how to put human-centric controls on those systems.
That connection is really powerful. It's a seamless ethical intelligence loop. AMI gives you the insight, the data, the warnings, and AML provides the capability, the human judgment, and moral action.
Absolutely. And that seamless integration is explicitly critical for accountability, especially under Standard 6, which deals with AI and technology responsibility.
So it prevents organizations from just outsourcing moral responsibility to a black box.
It does. GES requires that algorithms adhere to human-centric, transparent oversight. Insight is always coupled with capable human action.
That distinction, you cannot outsource your ethics, is really the central message of GMS. Now we get to the great challenge in any management system, especially one about morals. How do you measure a company's conscience?
Right.
GMS promises to make ethics tangible, measurable, and auditable. It does that through its specific Annex tools.
This is where the rubber meets the road. The main tool in Annex A is the creation of ethical performance indicators, or EPIs. These are the qualitative or quantitative metrics used to track ethical progress. They transform those abstract principles into auditable data points.
And these EPIs aren't just random. GMS organizes them around 5 core measurement dimensions, which mirror those literacies we just discussed.
Ethical integrity, analytical transparency, operational responsibility, stakeholder fairness, and technological stewardship.
Yeah. What would an example of one of these be?
Well, think of the possibilities. Instead of just reporting on revenue, an organization could report on its Decision Traceability Index, a metric tracking the ethical justification for high-stakes decisions.
Or an AI ethics compliance rate.
Exactly. This provides the verifiable evidence you need for external audits and internal reviews.
Yeah, but GMS isn't just about measuring performance after the fact. It also forces proactive ethical thinking.
Yes, which is where the Ethical Impact Assessment, or EIA, comes in. That's an Annex C. It's mandatory.
And it has to be done before implementing any major change, new tech, or policy.
It's a systematic foresight tool. Its function is to identify potential ethical risks, things like systemic bias, privacy invasions, or labor exploitation, and then define the mitigation actions needed with a really intense focus on AI oversight.
That's a huge shift. It moves organizations from playing ethical defense, reacting to a crisis, to playing ethical offense.
Designing systems to prevent harm from the start. Exactly. And to benchmark that progress, GMS provides the Global Ethical Maturity Index, or GAMI, in Annex B.
So this is the report card.
It's the diagnostic model for ethical evolution. It allows for comparison and transparent reporting.
How does GEMI work? What does it look at?
It assesses the organization across those five AML literacy domains, the human capabilities, using four distinct maturity levels. It ranges from level one, which is foundational awareness, meaning, you know, the organization is just starting to identify its ethical principles, all the way up to level four, ethical leadership.
What does level four look like in practice?
A level four organization doesn't just comply with the standard. They champion ethics, they innovate ethical solutions, and they set industry benchmarks. They're actively using their AML loop as a source of strategic competitive advantage.
So it transforms ethics from a compliance cost into a measurable, improvable performance continuum.
And it allows for truly global comparisons of moral governance.
Okay, so if AMI provides the insights, AML provides the capability, and GMI provides the grading, then the utility of GMS really rests on how well it operationalizes accountability.
And that accountability is woven right through the nine auditable standards. Critically, it starts with leadership.
Standard two, I see. Ethical leadership and stewardship.
Yes, it requires leaders to publicly commit to integrity, ensure the culture aligns with the principles, and allocate sufficient resources. Accountability begins and ends at the top.
And that accountability extends far beyond the organization's own four walls, too. Take Standard 6, Ethical Operations and Supply Chains. This mandates that ethical oversight is extended to procurement, requiring suppliers to adhere to the organization's ethical policy.
Right. You can't simply outsource your manufacturing and pretend the ethics are someone else's problem.
And when failures do happen, which they will.
And they will. Accountability has to be swift and comprehensive. That's Standard 8. Ethical nonconformity and corrective action. It ensures organizations promptly react, mitigate consequences, and conduct a thorough root cause analysis for any ethical lapse.
And most importantly, Standard 8 includes a firm requirement for the protection of individuals reporting those concerns.
A safe and confidential reporting mechanism. Without that, the entire system of ethical data collection just breaks down.
The whole thing falls apart.
It does. And beyond that, the operational backbone of GMS is documented information. The ethical context register, the risk register, the EIA reports, all required for transparency and traceability. That documentation is the key source of moral accountability during an audit.
It makes it impossible to claim ignorance of a systemic ethical risk.
It does. And finally, Standard 4 mandates that the whole system is properly resource budgeting for ethical literacy training, for infrastructure like those digital ethics dashboards you need for AMI, and for independent advice channels.
So ethical capability becomes a key metric for manager development.
As defined by those five AML literacies, yes.
So what does this all mean for you? The GMS framework is a universal, rigorous, auditable system for managing ethics with the same precision, intelligence, and strategic intent as managing finance or risk.
By establishing that ethical intelligence loop where AMI provides the data insight, AML ensures the human capability, and GMA provides the roadmap for improvement. GMS gives you a clear path for achieving integrity, intelligence, and real-world impact all at the same time.
And if we connect this back to the source's closing statement, the ambition here is huge. It says GMS aims to ensure that ethical management becomes not just a compliance requirement, but a global standard of civilization.
We have the systemic tools now. We can measure what was previously unmeasurable, trust and moral competency.
And that raises an important question for you, the listener. If we accept that integrity is now infrastructure, What does it mean for your career if the organization you work for or the major competitor you track operates at level 4 ethical leadership?
Right. What happens to the company stuck at level 1, relying just on good intentions?
And conversely, looking at the news, which societal systems or high-impact tech industries, especially those leveraging powerful AI, are currently operating on outdated, unmeasured moral assumptions and desperately need this integrity-first management system right now?
That is where the next wave of ethical accountability, and I'd argue competitive advantage, will be found.